This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 12th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 216. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and the big deal feature, Canada joins the international diplomatic boycott of the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics. A survey by Vancouver's Research Co. suggests Canadians want an athletic boycott of China over human rights concerns. Also, Vancouver and Whistler are bidding for another Winter Olympics. This time, the four host First Nations are fronting the campaign. My guest is pollster Mario Canseco.
But first, is it just me?
Is it just me, or has Doug McCallum finally worn out his welcome as mayor of Surrey? McCallum was mayor from 1996 to 2005, and he made a comeback in 2018 by winning the mayoralty with a plurality. His Safe Surrey Coalition Party took a majority of seats on council. They proceeded to ram through replacement of the RCMP with a municipal force and to replace the planned light rail transit system with SkyTrain. On both counts, McCallum was dishonest with Surrey taxpayers about the costs. He has been met with a feisty opposition that wants the cop swap stopped, and they also want to see him leave City Hall for good. The December 10th announcement of a criminal public mischief charge against McCallum could be enough. Yes, the mayor and police board chair is innocent until proven guilty, but what about the honor of the office? McCallum is accused of lying to the RCMP, claiming that a pro-RCMP protester ran over his foot on September 4th. It isn't the first time that a Surrey mayor has been in trouble with the law. In 1980, Ed McKitka was convicted of breach of trust, unlawfully demanding a benefit, and threatening a Surrey alderman during his 1975 to 1977 time as mayor. Mayor Doug McCallum's lawyer is Richard Peck, who represented Meng Wanzhou, who admitted lying about a Huawei subsidiary in Iran. McCallum's first appearance in court is January 25th.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
The four host nations being Liowat, Humathquium, Skokmish, Tsleil-Waututh, and the city of Vancouver and the resort municipality of Whistler want to announce that we're going to explore the feasibility of an Indigenous-led Olympic Games.
The four host First Nations from the Vancouver 2010 Winter Olympics reunited on December 10th with mayors of Vancouver and Whistler at the BC Sports Hall of Fame in BC Place Stadium. They agreed to explore a bid for the 2030 Winter Olympics, but there are so many questions to answer in the months to come. How much did it really cost for the 2010 Olympics? How much would it cost to host another Games in 2030? Will the public get to vote before negotiations with the IOC? Is now the time to think of an Olympics when BC is grappling with a pandemic, an overdose crisis, homelessness, and destruction from natural disasters? Here are highlights from the December 10th announcement.
So this is an important first step in exploring the feasibility of bringing Olympics and Paralympics back to this region in 2030.
Three of the four First Nations are partners in MST development with the Aquilini family, the real estate tycoons who own Rogers Arena and the Vancouver Canucks and want to build the Garibaldi Ski Resort near Squamish. Musqueam Indian Band Chief Wayne Sparrow.
But I want to bring us back to 2010. We had differences between our nations, and it was 2010 that brought us back together again. And it was the leadership from our three communities, the city of Vancouver. And I want to say to each and every one of you that I have the utmost respect for the city mayor and council here in Vancouver. When we talk about reconciliation, their actions are bigger than words. They fulfill. And this past council and the present one are the ones that help us strive forward. Like Chief Nelson said, in 2010, we were brought forward. And I know our ancestors are down looking at us now, where we're going to be a big part of an Indigenous-led proposal. And I want to acknowledge both the mayors for giving us this opportunity and showing your leadership and giving the support to our communities. So I'd like to acknowledge and thank you.
Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart.
That's what the City of Vancouver is doing today with the signing of this historic MOU. An MOU which at its core is four nations inviting two municipalities to explore hosting the 2030 Games on their territories. Four inviting two, not two inviting four. Now, people in this region will be tempted to look back at the 2010 Games when they hear about the news, and that's really understandable. Many look back at these Games with tremendous pride and deep sense of accomplishment. The Games left an enduring legacy for our province, our city, and our country. They brought people together, and they helped accelerate important changes in our community and public life. But today is not about 2010, and it's not even about 2030. It's about how we as settlers can reshape how we live on these unceded lands. It's about how non-Indigenous Canadians need to confront our country's painful and violent history of abuse and genocide. It is about fulfilling our obligations under the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples Act. And it's about how we choose a different path, an unfamiliar path, we can move in a better direction. And that doesn't end in 2030, but this is a path that continues far beyond that. Today is an historic day, but there is still a long way to go. We are only at the exploratory stage.
Canadian Olympic Committee President Tricia Smith.
To see the City of Vancouver, the resort municipality of Whistler, enter into this historic memorandum of understanding with the Lillooet, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. The announcement fully aligns with our process at the Canadian Olympic Committee and our commitment to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada's calls to action. And it's an important first step towards exploring the feasibility of bringing the Olympic and Paralympic Games back to this region.
Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart.
Today we think of the canoe leaving the shore, and what we'll be doing now is entering in discussions. When I say we, the Indigenous leaders will be leading a discussion with the Canadian Olympic and Paralympic Committees. The President has laid out what the timeline will be, is that we're hoping that early in the spring there will be additional agreements that are signed and move forward and an important point here is that if we're to explore a bid, the councils will still have to approve this. So the next major step for our municipality will be for council to discuss and then have a public vote on whether or not we want to proceed with a bid. The processes may vary between organizations, but that's what will happen here at the City of Vancouver. So it'll be ongoing discussions, more memorandums of understanding in the spring with votes, at least on our council, sometime before July. The question was on funding. All that will be discussed as we move through the process. However, I have had very productive conversations with the new minister, a federal minister of sport, as well as the provincial minister of sport. So they are aware of the MOU. We've had very positive conversations. But like the last Olympic and Paralympic Games, those costs will be spread across the various organizations. I think the Canadian Olympic Committee could give you a better sense of how the costs were distributed last time around. But the benefit of having it in this region is, of course, we already have many facilities that are all ready to go. as opposed to another city where they would have to build everything from scratch. So that is that was one of the factors that we discussed as we went through our deliberations to take us to this point. But all of that has been discussed, but again, positive conversations with both the federal and provincial relevant ministers.
Musqueam Indian Band Chief Wayne Sparrow.
About funding, that was one of the concerns that we had from Musqueam and the support, that we knew that we're going to have some negative publicity about hosting games with the COVID and other crises are going there. But like the mayor said, the most of the facilities are done, and that would be from us making sure that we have somebody in place that would be able to handle that and direct and meet with the federal, provincial government and the two municipalities.
Our first question comes from Bob Mackin of the Breaker News. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. For Mayor Stewart, the IOC wants to choose the 2030 host by 2023, but the board minutes and financial files from VanOck, the 2010 organizer, are at the Vancouver Archives, and they're closed to the public until 2025. The public doesn't know the full cost of the 2010 games yet, and doesn't know where all the money went. Will you open the files early so that the public can get the full picture on how much 2010 cost before you proceed? And also, why is John Furlong not on the stage with the speakers today?
Thanks so much for the question, Bob. In terms of exploring the cost of the 2010 games, Council has passed a motion to that extent. Actually, I got a preliminary memo this morning where we're starting to look in that. Staff are looking into this to meet the conditions on the Council's memo. That will all come forward next year as we move forward through with this exploration.
Those are sounds of the December 10th announcement in Vancouver of a bid for the 2030 Winter Olympics. We'll continue to follow the Vancouver 2030 Olympics bid on the Breaker.News podcast. Canada has joined the growing international diplomatic boycott of the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics. Team Canada is going to compete in February's Games of Ice and Snow, but the Prime Minister, Cabinet Ministers, and diplomats will stay away.
As a country, indeed, as many partners around the world, we are extremely concerned by the repeated human rights violations by the Chinese government. That is why we are announcing today that we will not be sending any diplomatic representation to the Beijing Olympic or Paralympic Games this winter. Our athletes have been training for years and are looking forward to compete at the highest level against athletes from around the world, and they will continue to have all of our fullest support as they show the extraordinary success that Canada has at Winter Olympic Games.
Despite what China said, top government officials and diplomats from governments around the world are invited months ahead of the Games. It is standard operating procedure. Mario Canseco of Research Co. found in a poll released last week that a majority of Canadians would prefer to see a full boycott due to China's human rights abuses. Mario Canseco of Research Co. joins us on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Mario, your poll found a sizable portion of people are considering not even watching the games on TV or online. What about corporate sponsors? It's not a good time to attach to the Olympic brand for such a controversial games.
It's certainly one of the most challenging times for the corporations that are supportive of the International Olympic Committee. The situation has changed dramatically over the past year. This is the third time we ask about a full boycott. We asked in April, we asked in August, we asked this month, and the numbers continue to be with a majority of Canadians believing that this is the right course of action. You know, our expectation was that maybe the numbers would be lower because we had the confirmation that the NHL players are going to take part in the Olympics and also the return of the two Michaels. But, you know, the numbers didn't budge at all. So essentially what we have is a situation where the government has decided to do something that is essentially meaningless because they wanted to save face and essentially try to send some sort of message to the Chinese government. But most Canadians believe that the reality is that if you really want to send a message that is heard around the world, you have to do it by not sending the athletes.
athlete health and safety is a major concern of the people that did respond to your poll.
Well, it was certainly a high proportion. We have 70% who believe that this is a problem, that they are actually concerned about the health and safety of athletes. It's an insanely high proportion of Canadians who are worried. And it's a combination of things. You know, one of them is the fact that when it suits China's purposes, Canadians suddenly disappear and reappear in jails. But it's also the fact that we don't have as much information about the pandemic as we have from other countries. We went through the process before the Tokyo Games of how the situation was unfolding, how many cases, what was the situation related to whether the venues would be open or not. And now it seems like we're heading into the games that are happening in the past. You know, no clear guidances on how many cases, what you have to do in specific venues. So it's the health and safety, not just because of COVID-19, but also because of the place where the games are happening that has Canadians certainly worried.
You also asked respondents about their thoughts on whether IOC should discipline athletes or not who decide to speak their mind, decide to protest, and decide to speak truth to power while in China.
Well, more than 7 in 10 Canadians believe that that should be their right. You know, if you want to say something, if you want to manifest your view on the situation that is happening around you and you're an athlete who is actually a public figure, you should be allowed to do so. And there also, we have more than 7 in 10 Canadians who believe that if somebody decides to do this, they shouldn't be punished by the IOC. We've heard the situation related to the IOC, you know, we're not political, the game are actually a gathering of athletes. And, you know, we don't want to make any statements about governments or such. But, you know, we've seen historically, you know, we have the example of Mexico City in 1968. We have the example of Seoul in 1988. I mean, there's been so many moments when the games do become political and the athletes themselves have to actually talk about this. So it's a delicate balance as far as not trying to make their corporate sponsors unhappy. But Canadians believe that if you're on the podium, I mean, you have something to say, you should definitely be able to say it without fear of retribution.
Mayor Kennedy Stewart of Vancouver and Jack Crompton of Whistler on December 10th both said that the four host First Nations are now leading this bid. Right now it's in the exploratory phase, and they want to get it further beyond the exploratory phase by spring. Under the new IOC rules and regulations, there may not even need to be a bid phase. It can be negotiations. And there may not even be a public referendum. This is being sold as a First Nations-led initiative, with Vancouver and Whistler being invited. What did your most recent poll say about the appetite of people in British Columbia and Canada as a whole for another Olympics, especially in Vancouver?
Well, when we asked about the 10-year anniversary of the Olympics back in February of 2020, we had 60% who thought, well, yes, we should do this again. We had an actually higher level of support for a summer Olympic bid at 62%. So essentially, we had 3 out of 5 people who said it would be fun to do this again, maybe in 2030. But when we re-asked this question this year after Tokyo, the numbers plummeted. You know, we have a drop of 17 points, only 43% of BC residents who believe that it's wise to try to explore hosting the Olympics again. Part of it is related to COVID and all of the problems that haven't been solved here in BC, but also the experience of Tokyo, you know, knowing that there was a committee that spent a lot of money trying to host the games, the pandemic happened, then you had to host them in empty venues, and you never got the windfall that was supposed to happen with all of the tourism that the games were supposed to generate. So there's definitely skepticism. And a lot of it also has to do with the lack of transparency from the organizing committee of 2010. You know, we haven't seen all of their finances. We haven't seen all of the minutes. We might be able to see some of those files in 2025. This is right after there's a decision made on whether we should be hosting the games. And in a way, what we have right now are two contrasting concepts of what should happen. The fact that John Furlong wasn't there certainly suggests that the four nations and the two mayors believe that he is absolutely toxic. Probably better to have Ben Johnson as an ambassador at this point, because John Furlong has become extremely polarizing. And I think it still remains to be seen how this is seen by people. You know, we were asking them a couple of months ago, and they're thinking about the Vanok experience. They're thinking about 2010. Maybe the numbers will be a little bit different with this. But at this stage, there's a very heavy level of skepticism when it comes to the way British Columbians feel about a new bid, and one, as you say, that might actually just be a negotiation. It might just be the IOC saying, well, Sapporo is not ready, Salt Lake City isn't ready, let's just do Vancouver, without any opportunity for the public to have their say.
And I'm looking forward to what you might get in your next poll, because big question is this, that is this now the time to bid for an Olympics? I mean, 1998 was when Arthur Griffiths started the 2010 bid. Different time, different place. But is now the time in British Columbia to bid for an Olympics? We still have a pandemic on. We don't know when it's going to end. We've got the overdose crisis, which is getting worse every month. More deaths every month, more records. We had the heat dome in June. Almost 600 people died. We got the floods that happened in November. The cleanup's going to take years, probably billions of dollars to rebuild the Coquihalla Highway, a new surprise cost. The major socioeconomic and climate costs facing British Columbia taxpayers right now, not to mention inflation now becoming a major headache for consumers in the short term. There's a lot there. There's the perfect storm that is ultimately a major barrier for an Olympic bid.
Well, and it's also important to note that the unanimity that we saw in the early stages of the bid for 2010, when it came to specific levels of government, is no longer present. And that is going to be complicated to maneuver. You know, we didn't see any statements of support from John Horgan on Twitter saying, this is interesting, let's explore it. We haven't really seen a lot of movement either from the federal government on this front. So maybe this is something that took a lot of people by surprise, but there has to be some concerted effort to try to get people to support this. The people who put together the 2030 site, looks a little bit like AstroTurf. There's no names there. There's nothing. There's just a bunch of statements and things that they would like to see happening. And it might be something that is important for people. But this is different. Now you have the names of government officials attached to it, the names of four First Nations attached to it. Is this something that is going to generate the type of gravitas that you require in order to have the level of support that you need to host the games? And, you know, it's the early stages. It's been one day since the announcement that there's this exploratory committee, but it's going to take some time. You know, when you have 43% of people saying we want to do this, it means that a majority are skeptical, and they may not just be one over because you had a nice event.
That's Mario Canseco, president of Research Co. You can find out more information about his polls at researchco.ca. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In Kyoto news, rare, enormous skeleton of Tak the walrus to go on display at Japanese Aquarium. The skeleton is of Tak, a male walrus, the aquarium in Chiba, bought from the then Soviet Union in 1983. Before his death in October 2019, his enormous girth, he weighed over 1 metric ton, drew plenty of visitors. He fathered 9 calves during his time in captivity, which lasted for as long as 13,093 days, a Japanese record. The 3-meter-long specimen has tusks nearly a meter long. In the Taiwan news, Taipei MRT withdraws train promoting Nicaragua after diplomatic break. The government of President Daniel Ortega announced the unexpected move to become a Chinese ally on December 9th, leaving Taiwan with 14 formal diplomatic allies and causing expressions of concern and condemnation. One of the train cars featured the image of a Nicaraguan volcano crater on the floor, mountains and a lake on the walls, and the Cathedral of Granada on the ceiling. The ambassador of Nicaragua, Myrna Mariela Rivera Andino, graduated from the Department of International Business at Taipei City's Ming Chuan University in 2018. And in the New Zealand Herald, child driver, 11, gives police fingers before speeding, crashing car with young passengers. Police spotted a vehicle near Rotorua on December 10th and noticed it suddenly veer off the road and crash into a rock on the side of the road. Bay of Plenty District Command Center Senior Sergeant Dennis Murphy told the Rotorua Daily Post the officer approached the vehicle and suddenly a little head popped up from behind the driver's side. Quote, the youth flipped the bird to the police officer and sped off again, end quote. Inside the car, there were 4 passengers, all aged under 10, as well as the 11-year-old driver.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome to the newest Patreon supporter of the Breaker.News and the Breaker.News podcast, the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association, which is hosting Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson on April 26th in Vancouver. For information and tickets to the annual ICBA Gala, go to icba.ca or call toll-free 1-800-663-2865.
In the Oregonian, friendly, foul-mouthed crow named Cosmo befriends entire Oregon elementary school before state police are called in. A friendly, if somewhat foul-mouthed, crow became a temporary mascot at Allendale Elementary School in November when the bird took up residence at the Grants Pass School. The bird wasn't aggressive at all and seemed to love the kids. It landed on some people's heads. And it spoke. The bird could say, "What's up?" and "I'm fine," and a lot of swear words. Quote, "It was like a parrot. It was the weirdest thing." In King 5, two men charged after pretending to be Native American to sell art at Pike Place Market. The investigation into the two men, 67-year-old Jerry Chris Van Dyke, a.k.a. Jerry Witten, of Seattle, and 52-year-old Louis Anthony Rath of Maple Falls, began in early 2019, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Investigators with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service made undercover purchases at a gallery in Pike Place Market. Misrepresenting native goods is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. In the Times Colonist, Sea Searchers, how a sea of volunteers is saving lives on BC's coast. It's technically the Canadian Coast Guard Auxiliary, a national network of non-profit organizations with regional offices in Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, Quebec, Ontario, and BC. But in this province, it's been known as Royal Canadian Marine Search and Rescue since 2012. In BC, 900 volunteers are assigned to one or more of 31 stations on the island, North Coast, and Haida Gwaii, the Lower Mainland, and Shuswap. Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands have 15 stations. Collectively, the RCMSR's area of operations covers more than 25,000 kilometers of BC coastline, along with the inland station in the Shuswap.
The biggest sports superstar in Cascadia, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, is coming to Vancouver on April 26th. Get in the huddle at the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association annual banquet. For information and tickets, go to icba.ca or call toll-free 1-800-663-2865.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to
the Fraser Valley Angling Guides Association for being a vital part of the rescue missions in flooded Sumas Prairie after the mid-November storms.
You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine, because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it?
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 12th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on December 12th in 1901, 120 years ago, Italian inventor Marconi received the first radio signal across the Atlantic, the letter S in Morse code? He was at the Signal Hill in Newfoundland. Now you know.
Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's PATREON.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.